Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, shot to the balls and you're to blame.
His and her bed weapons.
Hey, do you have change for a $10,000 bill?
Get up, dick.
Throw in my back out with a local tramp.
Lacking your balls like a Newton's cradle.
I don't like sugared up monkeys.
COVID worthy.
The Sriracha States of America.
Jeff Naked is quite a sight.
Don't swetch the small stuff.
Scorekeeping BS.
Go to pee, stay for the dam.
Is Bueno good?
Unslabbed.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Your computer came with Microsoft Windows 3.1 and Microsoft Bookshelf for Windows?
Sensational.
Your computer has a voicemail system with your own message center?
Sensational.
Your computer came with a complete graphics package?
Well, I can make party banners and invitations too. Sensational.
Your computer can actually play all your music CDs in clear digital stereo?
Sensational.
Get a delicious burst of jelly in every bite.
This is The Morning Stream, a rat turd.
That one always catches me off guard. Hey, everybody, welcome back to TMS. It's TMS, The Morning Stream for Monday, January 24th, 2022. I'm Scott. He's Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. It's such a nice short, sweet one, right? Rat turd.
Huh? Yeah, it's a rat turd. Okay. Thanks a lot, Fletcher. You're a rat turd. How you like that? Hey, like that, buddy?
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a trickery thing. Some people ask, how do you get such weird things from Fletcher? Well, some of them he recorded just for the show, and some of them were things he did for FilmSack that I then took out of context, like that one, and stuck a, you're listening to The Morning Stream, or this is The Morning Stream, or whatever, and added to the back or the front, and now you got your clip. And it sounds like he made it for us for TMS, but he didn't. It's like I Frankensteined him.
Repurposing content. We're recycling is what we're doing.
Yeah, we're being good citizens. Yes.
What film sack did he record Rat Turd for?
Oh, I could tell you. It's that is from
a Rat Turd.
What's the one where what's his name points at you and goes, oh, what was that called?
Oh, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, that's the one. The one with the rat turd in the soup at the beginning.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Had Leonard Nimoy in it and. Some other people. Oh, briefly, Jeff Goldblum, I believe, was in that.
And Kiefer Sutherland's dad, Donald.
Yeah, looking down at his finger, pointing.
He's the pointer.
Yeah, the one that inspired, I think, the monkey on Family Guy. Pretty sure that was his.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
He's pointing at you, making you feel all judged or whatever. Anyway, so there's that. Hey, what's going on, everybody? We had a weekend and stuff, you know, things going on. I don't know if you feel like this. I feel like the COVID is a closing circle, and everybody I know seems to be getting it. We had exposure and ended up having to be away from everybody all weekend. So,
did you really?
Okay. Yeah, we don't think anyone's got it, but we're waiting to hear on one other person's test to just make sure we don't need to do a test run for everybody.
Gotcha. But, you don't have any home tests you could take?
Not yet. They're supposed to be here any minute. The ones I bought, and then by the way, did you notice?
Oh, did you order some from Roe?
Yeah, did you notice I did the Roman order the day before the government said, "Here's our new buy, get some free tests, sign up." So I spent $30 on something that I could get for free, but whatever.
Oh, guess what? I did as well, and I still haven't received the free ones, but I have received the ones from Get Roman. So
I've received nothing.
There's something to that, you know.
Yeah, I've got nothing here, so I don't know what's going on. But
yeah.
Anyway, when we get those, we'll see if we need to use them yet. But anyway, I'm afraid I'm going to end up using them like Elaine uses the sponge. You know.
Right, like it's oh, is it COVID worthy?
Yeah,
like,
is it test worthy?
I'm holding on to this batch until I absolutely need it.
Is it spit worthy? Like that sort of thing?
Right.
I don't know how we're gonna deal with it, but yeah,
I don't know either. The we're in the same boat. Like everyone, all of our close friends here in Colorado, everyone's gotten it. Close family members, close friends, etc.
Yeah.
I think you and Kim might be the only people we know
that don't have it yet.
Yeah. Like the inner circle that haven't gotten it. That yeah, at least not aware of getting it.
Yeah, and then the physicality of our circle closing is the thing that's freaking me out, because it's like every neighbor, not every neighbor, but a bunch of neighbors, some people who have been complete shut-ins for the full 2 years got it somehow. Mm-hmm. Like it's just taken over, man. And too many tadpoolers. Like I see this morning that our good pal TV's Travis had it kind of bad. I hope he's doing all right. He says he's feeling a little bit better, but I'm just saying, I don't want anyone to get real bad or die.
I don't know how I haven't gotten it, you know, with going to movies and restaurants and traveling and all that stuff. I mean, you know, I've got obviously the vaccine, the booster prevent a lot of that. The mask prevents a lot of that. But still, I mean, you know, people that we know, friends we know have had those things as well. And they mask up and all that and still end up getting it. I don't know how.
Yeah, you get dodged a bunch of bullets.
Maybe this will be the week. Maybe New Orleans will.
Finally. Finally, it can have its way.
Finally break my COVID cherry.
Yeah, yes. It can finally have its way with you and your body, and I hope that doesn't happen. But here's the thing. Maybe COVID is like stormtroopers, and you're Luke Skywalker. They just can't hit you.
Maybe.
No matter how many shots they take.
Exactly.
They just can't hit you. So think of it that way.
Maybe.
Hey, I got an email I must read. Before we go too much further in the show today, from Jeff Sire, our pal up in Grafton, Ontario, Canada.
Yes.
Good old Bronco sent us an email. He does this a lot.
He does.
And this is a good one. So Scott and Brian, talking to Bill about what prop he would use to defend himself during a home invasion, reminded me of a story I think you guys would find funny. Oh, we did. We definitely found this funny. When I met my wife, Jennifer, in 1997, she was in the process of getting divorced. Since the divorce was not finalized, her ex still had legal issue or access to Jen's house. He thoughtfully used his access to take random things and move stuff around when Jen wasn't home. That's a jerky thing to do, isn't it? Pretty lame.
Yeah.
To say that annoyed Jen is an understatement. One weekend I was staying at her pace. He meant place. Or she has a giant bottle of salsa and he lives in it.
Okay, I don't complain about other people's typos.
Hey,
okay.
I can do it all day when it's Jeff. He gives me so much shit, he can get some shit.
It's true. Jeff or Free Hotel Room, they put themselves out there that we can.
They do. And when they trip over a wire, then you get to lay into them.
Right,
anyway,
right.
Says her place and her kids were all at their dad's, so it was just the two of us. All right.
Yeah,
Jen wakes me up in the he wakes me up in the middle of the night and says she can hear someone downstairs. So I get out of bed and go down to check things out. Here's the best part. An important fact to mention is that I was totally naked at the time. Now, if you know Jeff, he'll explain himself here in a second. But if you know Jeff, that's quite a sight.
That's an intimidating.
Yeah.
Well, at least based on seeing him clothed.
Yeah.
I can imagine he doesn't wear padded shirts and
yeah, he's a big military looking monster of a boy. He says, so big, muscly, naked paratrooper is wandering naked through the darkened house looking for villains. There was no one there. So I go back upstairs to the bedroom. I find Jen kneeling in the center of the bed at in my T-shirt she was sleeping with on the bedside lamp and a baseball bat resting on her shoulder. I told her there was no one downstairs, but then asked, where the F did the baseball bat come from? She said, oh, I keep it under the bed. I looked down at my lack of clothing and said, maybe next time she sends me off to get murdered, she could give me that bat, since I didn't think I was, I didn't think I was likely to club anyone to death with my penis, he says. His penis. No. Jeff, that's an amazing story.
It's such a great bunch. Like, clubbing anyone with my penis.
My penis. Well done.
Although,
he defended his love and his life. That's fine.
That's right. You and I would both be chivalrous, though, right? Like, if we knew that there was a baseball bat and we were going to check out what was going on downstairs, I think we'd still leave our wives with the baseball bat just in case they get around us or something.
Yeah, what you do is you need two baseball bats.
You need two his and hers baseball bats.
Yeah. Or, my buddy has... I have a friend who's super into guns. He has a Bernelli shotgun attached to a special attachment thing under his bed to reach down.
Oh, wow.
Clip,
really?
And it's out. Yep. And on his wife's side, something similar. I don't know what gun it is.
Yeah.
He's so into it that he's just sure that if he's ever attacked in this place that has no crime.
They're basically Michael Gross and Reba McEntire inside the Tremors bunker, is what you're saying.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's a great. I wish I'd have thought of that before. But that's basically them. They're waiting for Tremors. That never come, by the way. They never. So they live in like this perfectly peaceful neighborhood that no one ever robs anything from. And yet, he's down. I got my Bernelli right by my hip if I needs it. Anyway. Hey, Brian. I know there's... Yeah. I smell it in the air. There's something going on with podcasting. Yeah. And we all can tell. But why don't you tell us what this feeling is we have?
There's some knowledge in the air, and it's coming your way. Yeah, America's Next Top Podcaster. The applications close in about a week, so if you have any interest in becoming America's Next Top Podcaster and participating in, number one, what is a incredibly fun 12 weeks, it's also a challenge, but it's a challenge that will severely hone your podcasting skills. It is, like I said, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I've learned something in every single season of the show and the first three seasons of the show. And in addition to the usual great prizes that we're offering this time around, this season's winner also gets a show with Justin Robert Young's Dog and Pony Show Productions. And so you've got to take advantage of that, or we might do that as an intern or as a the editing week prize or something. It's definitely going to be a prize this season. And what an incredible, incredible opportunity. And even Will Saddleberg, who won this last season, he's doing stuff with Justin. He worked on the Greatest Con, I think, with Justin and Brian. Or was it
something with them? I can't remember now.
Or was it the other? It might have been the other.
Been season two of...
That's right. It was season two of...
Justin Goes to College.
World's Greatest. No, it was World's Greatest Con. I looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that already out? Did season two happen?
He co-wrote half of the new season for World's Greatest Con.
Maybe they're still in production. Anyway, that's awesome. So look at that.
We want you as a contestant for America's Next Top Podcaster. It is fun. You learn a lot. Did you just break your glasses?
No, it's got a big old goob on it, and I forgot the dog put her nose on it. Sorry, I didn't mean to distract.
Ew. So go to it right now. americasnexttoppodcaster.com. Go fill out an application, and hopefully we'll see you, and you can be part of the fun. We got Tom, we got Jenny, we got Justin, we got Scott.
Yeah.
Me, for some reason, and everybody else. So
your venerable host, Brian Ibbett.
Venerable host.
That's right. It's always fun, and I'm glad to hear. I was a little concerned that we wouldn't see Jenny because I know she's got some new stuff going on, but I'm really glad to hear she's back.
Hers was the schedule that I was most worried about. Well, yours and hers because of your, all your new marbles in the straw.
Oh, I'm going to make it work, man. I'm going to make it work. That day's just going to be marble day, and I'm going to pound two marbles out at night, and it'll be great. Poop them out. Just poop out those marbles like I'm made of marble.
Poop out those marbles. Anyway.
Yeah, it'll be good.
America's Next Top Podcaster.com. Go fill out an application, please.
Please do it. Get on it. What are you doing? What are you sitting there for? All right. Real quick, I just wanted to send a shout out to all my people out there for the last couple of years who said, Scott, you need to play Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It might be, when you play a game,
it might be the best thing I've played in the last 10 years.
Well, if you when you play a game like a year or two after its actual release you just miss the hype bubble and you're like, and this could be TV, movies, whatever. It'll be me with Parasite, I'm sure, when I finally see it.
Absolutely. You'll be like, Parasite was fine.
Yeah. Who knows? But sometimes you wait long enough and you go in kind of like, well, okay, I'll try it. It's all up-resed and, mastered up for the PS5. So I'm like, I'll just give this a shot. It's awesome. It would have easily been, what was it, 2020 was the release year? It would have easily been my game of the year that year had I played it. It's freaking fantastic. Now, yeah, if you don't like...
Everybody in my raid team was playing it and loving it. And,
so good. The combat alone, just this samurai combat system they built is so much fun. I love a big open world with stuff to check off. I think I'm gonna 100% this thing. And I don't do that very often.
Wow, like, no kidding.
Last time I did that was Big Shock, Mad Max video game from 2015.
Oh, of course it was. And you did it twice, didn't you? Didn't you go through that game twice?
No, but that is true. I did a run that was really deep and then didn't quite finish it. And then I went and did it the whole thing again and did everything. Like cleared it out completely.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do, and I love doing that with a good open world game. Sometimes they're good enough to just play and you'll have like maybe the main story and you're done and you just don't do all the side stuff. But this has great side stuff. It's freaking fantastic. So anyway, to all those people, you were right. It's very good. Okay? Yeah. I'm admitting it now. It was all very good.
I'm deep into Astroneer. I am loving that game. It's such a... It's the kind of thing I like, the base building, but with a storyline, with quests, that sort of thing, as opposed to just a Minecraft. Mm-hmm. Here's an open world, build crap.
Build things.
I like. Yeah.
You like to have a goal. You like to have a reason.
I like to have a goal. I like to have something to do. And apparently they keep adding new stuff to Astroneer. I know I'm coming to this thing 3 years into its existence, but
it's older, but it's really coming to its own right now. It's a perfect time to play it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I picked it up on Switch and on my Swatch.
Yeah,
so Swatch. I'm gonna unduck my Swatch and play it on the plane probably.
Good, that's perfect for that. There's nothing wrong with that game's great.
Well, it's kind of perfect. Here's the problem on the Swatch.
Mm-hmm.
The text is really hard to see. There's a lot of fine little tiny details that I need. That's a game I need to play on a big screen. But
there is a lot of little like helper text.
A lot
text
of little
stuff
to look at on there.
That's fun. That's not as fun for mobile for us. Aging eyeballs.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have to take my readers and play me some Astroneer.
Hells yeah! All right. Hey guys, what do you think about Dunaway joining us? What do you think of that?
I think that's an idea.
It's definitely an idea. Whether it's a good one or not, I guess we'll have to wait and find out once he joins this call. But we're going to play Babel Royale today, and I'm excited because that means someone's going to win some prizes. So this is me killing time while Brian doesn't answer his call. Oh, there he is. Hey, look who it is. It's our old pal Brian Dunaway joining us for Babel Royale on this Monday. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Hey, pal.
Hey, pal. What are you doing, pal? Do you ever, in just regular conversation, like not this dumb show stuff, do you ever call anyone pal? Has that ever happened to you? Me either.
Never. That's like the thing you say before you fight somebody. Yeah. Look here, pal.
Yeah, I wasn't here, buddy.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I don't do that either. It is Babel Royale slash Squirm Edition, the morning squirm. Mm. We're going to throw it over to Brian Ibbett here. We'll explain what it is, who could win, and what we're going to win. Go ahead, Brian.
I will do all that stuff. Welcome to the morning squirm, a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topic that would have grossed out Meatloaf, if that was even possible.
Aww.
Scott and Brian will take turns out too soon. Scott and Brian will take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get it wrong, well, the other player gets a point. The player with the most points after 5 questions wins the prize for their contestant, and we're pulling contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Martin in Nanaimo, B.C., British Columbia, up there in the Canada.
Mm. Oh, I like Canada. Oh, wait, I like him so much.
Canada!
There you go.
There we go. Yep. That's it. Brian, you're going to be playing for Steven in Peculiar, Missouri. Yes, that's right.
No,
Peculiar, Missouri.
Wait, that's where Cleo lives, isn't it? I think she lives in Peculiar
Missouri
now.
I know she lives in Missouri.
I think I sent her some stuff or something. I can't remember that was a thank you note or something for Christmas stuff, and she... Uh-huh. Pretty sure it was Peculiar. Oh, yeah, I am kind of doxing her. Sorry. But I think she's in Peculiar, which has like 5 people in it, so I'm really doxing her. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's her and Steven. There you go, yeah. Right there. As a matter of fact, it is her and Steven. Yes.
Oh, great.
Her and Steven.
Her and Steven, yeah.
Her and Steven, yeah. If I'm being clear. All right, so let's go ahead and get to today's questions.
All right, I'm ready. Lay it on us.
Brian, I think Brian won last week, so we're going to start with Scott.
Okay.
I have to write down my official scorekeeping right there.
Oh, look at that. Right there.
BS. Yep. It's BS, you guys.
A little BS.
Oh, I got to hide
All right,
the chat.
Scott.
Yes, uh-huh.
They say that the mind is the first thing to go, but it might start going way sooner than people realize. At what age does the brain start to deteriorate?
Mm. Okay. You have some
is it?
List here? Okay.
18, 25, 30, or 47?
My sister says that your pathways aren't fully formed till you're 25 to 27. So it seems to me like you're still running on high there. So I'm going to say probably 30 is when you start to do it. Yeah, it's got to be the beginning of it, right? It's got to be.
All right, let's see. Is the answer 30? Yes, it is.
Oh,
well done.
Your brain.
Nice. The answer is C. C, senor.
Nice. Yeah, Claire, if you're 26, you're, 4 years away or so from the downturn. Get ready.
Yeah. So you got 4 years. You got 4 years more of up, and then it starts falling apart.
Oh, it's
yeah.
all over now. And you're 30.
Claire's yeah. like, wrong.
Yeah. And that, by the way, all that gin ain't helping. All right. Hide in the chat again. Go.
That's right. Well, it doesn't matter because they don't know the answers.
Well, yeah, I just don't want their help. I just like to look at their reaction.
I don't want their help.
Yeah, I don't want their help.
I don't need
their stupid help.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, stupid Brian. The largest bill, it's not very gross, the largest bill to go into circulation in the United States did so in 1945. The value of that bill was A, $5,000, B, $10,000, C, $25,000, or D, $50,000.
These are all news largest, to me. Jeez.
Largest currency.
Did you know any of these existed?
Circulation in 1945.
Did you know, Dunaway, that any of these denominations existed? I had no idea.
I just assume they did. I mean, the largest denomination I've ever seen is a 20. But
yeah.
I had a 50 once.
I assume those other people, who are rich have bigger money than me.
Right.
And I think... I just feel like anything above 10,000 in currency would just be pointless.
You'd require somebody, if you bought something with that, somebody would have to make change.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you have change for a 10,000?
Yeah, people have trouble breaking.
After the war in 45 or so, right there at the end, I feel like we were trying to make a statement, and it feels like a statement number. $10,000 bill. Okay. Only three people had one.
All right.
Bezos, Branson, and Musk.
Yep.
Right there.
Right.
All right. Let's see if you're correct. Is the answer $10,000? It is. Look at you guys. Check out the brains on Scott and Brian.
Two in a row, baby.
Variation over here.
Let's see what the chat said. Everybody in the chat thought it was, nobody had answers.
A lot of 5Ks. A couple people said 10,000. Yeah.
I'd never heard of a $10,000 bill. I'll never see one either. So that's great.
No, no.
Are they in circulation now? Does somebody somewhere deal in 10?
I think once they're in circulation, they can still forever be in circulation. There's not a way to recall them,
right until the bank gets hold of them and says, "Time to send this to the burn pile."
It feels like if you're somebody with 10 grand worth of a single bill in your pocket, you're going to buy an $8,000 thing and say, "Keep the change."
I get nervous having a $100 bill in my pocket. I can't imagine.
Yeah,
I know. I'm the same way. I can't imagine Can't imagine that's walking around in your wallet.
Walking around money.
walking
around money.
Exactly. All right. Scott.
I'm trying to buy a soda with this. Yeah.
It'll never take it. It'll never take it.
Damn inflation.
Or you got to buy 10,000 sodas the minute it takes it. All right.
Here's a picture. AV Tech John is so quick with the wick. He's like Wikipedia speed. Quick.
Well, he's our AV Tech, Oh, who's that guy on there? Who's Chase? Is that the Chase Bank guy? I don't know who that is on the front of that.
Who's on the $10,000 bill?
Someone named Chase. Yeah.
Chase?
Huh. Chase Bank. Oh, see, I told you. I told you it was all kinds of...
It doesn't say
it was
bank.
Some kind of arrogant deal.
It doesn't say Chase Bank. It just has the guy's name is Chase. I don't know who that is.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, he looks like a rich dick.
Vincent Chase is the person on the $10,000 bill.
Seems like a real entourage. That was
a deal. That was just somebody paying somebody off.
Yeah, probably.
Exactly. All right. Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
A violent shot in the crotch can kill a man. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, it happened to a guy named Dick Wertheim back in 1983.
No.
After he was struck in the groin with this.
Okay.
A, was it a fist? B, a baseball? C, a golf ball? Or D, a tennis ball?
Ugh. The ball.
Give me the name again.
To bang, diggy, diggy.
The name of the guy?
Yeah. Did you give us
Dick Worth? Dick Wertheim. Do you think you know him?
No.
Are you Googling him? What are you doing?
He just wanted to think it was funny with Dick, crotch, and balls.
No, I'm just looking.
It is funny his name is Dick, right?
Yeah, it is good.
Not to him.
Yeah, he's not happy about it. I'm going to go with golf ball just for no reason other than that sounds like a thing that would hurt real bad at high velocity.
You think,
yeah.
Right, speed, the speed of a golf ball and the size and the
right.
Hardness
is this about the right? Is this about the right size for, you know, normal humans' balls? And man, be clacking like one of those metronome things, or what were those things? The little gravity balls.
The cradle, something cradle.
Yeah, yeah.
Newton's cradle.
There you go.
No, it is not golf ball.
Damn
Brian
it.
Gets the point, and you get the remaining choices: a fist, a baseball, or a tennis ball. What struck Dick Wertheim in the crotch?
And what happened to his man junk? What'd you say? What was the damage?
Killed him. A violent shot to the crotch killed him.
Okay, killed him. Wow.
Yeah, killed him.
No. Wow.
That's why I thought golf ball, it's a smaller, it's more bullety. I don't know. I
right.
don't know why I thought that. Tennis ball seems like it wouldn't.
I guess I that fist is confusing me, but I'm going to have to go with the baseball because, man, you could send something up in your body with that thing, man. You could,
sure.
Woo.
Was it a baseball? It was not. It was a tennis ball. Oh. He's a tennis linesman who, September 10th, 1983, during a match at the 1983 U.S. Open, Stefan Edberg sent an errant serve directly into his groin. He was sitting in a chair and officiating at the center line. The blow knocked him backwards, and he fell out of the chair onto the hard court surface, where he did strike his head.
Okay.
He also had a
secondary.
He also had a history of chronic cardiovascular disease. This is basically the shingles, but he died of COVID.
Yeah, this guy was going down regardless. That's right. All it took was a gentle lob from a tennis ball.
Exactly. Yeah. So he died on September 15th. His family sued the United States Tennis Association.
Oh, come on.
$5 million. In an opinion suggesting that the impact of the tennis ball had not been the proximate cause of his death, the appellate division of the Supreme Court of New York reversed a $165,000 jury award to his estate.
Here's some hate mail. He shouldn't have been manspreading. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because of that, the International Tennis Federation refrained from having linesmen sitting during plays. So they've got...
I like the idea that he's got cardiovascular problems and he's sitting. How big was this guy? Was he a big guy?
Oh,
was he a big dick?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
He's a big dick. Big dick. Dick is down. I repeat, dick is down. That's right, Tom's norm. All right, I'm hiding them again. Go. Let's do the next one.
All right, good. Brian, this one's to you. Families buy roughly 500,000 of this kid's toy every year, and it ends up sending about 100,000 youngsters to the emergency room.
I'm already guessing it, but go ahead.
Oh, really? Well, tell me your guess. I won't tell if you're right or not. But
I mean, it's Lego, right? It's got to be Lego.
Okay. All right, let's see. Is it bounce houses, inflatable pools, trampolines, or rock climbing walls?
No, okay, so it's none of those then. Okay.
Brian steps on those a lot.
The Lego choking thing is, the threat is real.
That's when I think of scary toys, I think of Legos.
Sure.
Even as much safety as they put on trampolines, I still feel like that's the go-to. We probably should just ban those. Along with merry-go-rounds. Trampoline should just be done away with.
Banning trampolines? Come on. It's now an Olympic
Exactly.
Thing.
And you should have to go train before you get on one. You just shouldn't have some amateur in the backyard flipping it over.
I'm pretty convinced still to this day that when my back goes out, it's because of damage I incurred in an accident on a tramp when I was young.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah. On a tramp.
On a tramp.
Shorten that.
Yeah, we called it
Scott and the Tramp.
We called it Tramp. Didn't anyone else do that? We always called it tramp. We never called it trampoline.
We didn't.
We called it tramp too.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Is it trampolines? It is. Brian gets the point.
Nicely
yes.
done.
Well done.
Yeah, they're death traps. Stupid.
They
things.
Are death traps. You know, maybe what they do is they do like you see it at malls and things where they have the harness that hooks into the top. And so if they jump it, if they were to fall off, they wouldn't go far because that thing would slow them down. And
yeah, I mean, they're fun. Kids love them. I get it.
Oh, I loved them. Ours were rectangular with no enclosing. So, springs that were like 2 foot long.
Yeah.
So that you could really get in between it.
Yeah, I didn't regret it at the time. It's just, you know, all the years. It's like soccer players are like, man, I sure love playing soccer, but my knees are mush now. It's like that kind of. Mm-hmm. It's like you either got hurt on a tramp or you didn't properly jump.
you didn't shoot for the moon or crack the egg or any of that stuff.
Yeah, what were you even doing there?
That's right. All right. Lil, Scott, this last one is for you.
Okay. How are we doing on score? I don't know where we're at.
Brian won this one 3-1 so far. So
damn it.
You can't win, but you can still save face with the right answer here.
All right.
The first person and the last person to die during the construction of the Hoover Dam had something else in common. What was it? Was it A, they both died from electrocution, B, they were father and son, C, they were both women, or D, their bodies are buried in the dam or stuck in the dam?
Oh, see, I know that there's truth to that, but I don't know about these brothers. Or about them, sorry, about their, no, wait, hold on. That might be it, actually. Oh, Scott.
That was not one of the options.
Sisters, father, son.
Women, they were both women, they were both father and son, they were both killed by electrocution, or their bodies are still stuck in the dam.
What I was saying is I know that there are people that just
in the dam.
Stayed in the dam, yeah. So if that means there's multiple people... That
I miss out on the dam tour.
I'm really tempted to go father son because it just sounds like some story I'd hear, but I'm going to go with the bodies are still in there.
Okay. All right. Is it that their bodies are still stuck in the dam? Incorrect.
Oh,
Brian, the remaining choices both died from electrocution. They were father and son, or they were both women.
I'm going to go. First of all, if you're the first one to die, that's going to happen because when they start pouring that concrete and stuff and you're in there, it's too bad. Mm-hmm. We're not starting over. I'm going to go with the it feels like electrical deaths are so common. It just seems odd, but I'm going to go with the electrical death.
Okay. All right. Were they both killed with both killed by electrocution?
Bill killed.
They were not.
No,
they were actually, Scott, you should have gone with your gut. They were father and son.
Damn it.
That just seems too weird, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, not really, though, because back then everybody worked, you know, you worked in the mine. Your uncle, your dad and your son all died in the mine thing that collapsed. Like, it's just, I don't know. It feels like that era was all about dad and Ricky aren't coming home tonight, dear. We're going to have to, you know what I mean? Like, there's, I don't know. There's something I should have gone with my gut is what I'm saying.
Right. And it was it was 13 years, by the way, to the day that they died. December 20th, 1922, and then December 20th, 1935. So they both actually died on December 20th.
Exactly
13 years apart. J.G. Tierney and his son, Patrick Tierney.
On the
I wonder
same...
if the same foreman had to show up with his hat in his hand at the house and go, it happened again.
He's just a little grayer.
Damn.
Yeah. Right? His hair's a little more receded. That's a real bummer. All right. Well, there's that story. The Hoover Dam has all kinds of great stories around it.
I'm sure there's a few great documentaries about that.
Yeah.
So congratulations going out to Stephen in Peculiar, Missouri.
Winner, Missouri. Getting better.
Yeah, well done, Peculiar Man.
You're going to get a copy of Siberia 3 and We Were Here Together on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Those are both pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin up there in Nanaimo, British Columbia, you're getting Between the Stars just for participating.
Also good.
Which you really didn't.
Between the Stars is actually great. I love that game.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, I played the hell out of it. It's a very fun, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's just kind of a cool hybrid of like freelancer and maybe, some board game stuff, like dice roll type things in it. You're in space, Unreal Engine stuff. It's real cool. Very cool game. I like those guys too. They're nice devs. What was I going to say? I was going to say a thing, and I forgot what it was, so I won't say it. I don't remember. Don't remember. Oh, I know. Shit. Oh, no, I know what it was. Last time I was at the Hoover Dam, I think we talked about this maybe on the show, but they have the weirdest bathrooms there. So if you're going to go to the, if you're like in the middle of the dam tour and you're out like on top of the thing and you're like, oh, I really got to pee, there's a place to go, but it's weird because you basically open a door that goes into the dam and then it's like these strange, crooked spiral staircase things up to like this very tiny room with a toilet in it that's like built into the dam. And you can tell this thing was built in like the 40s. It's a trip.
Wow.
So next time you're there.
I was thinking you was going to say you peed and it had like a little light that lit up and said, you're making power.
No, it wasn't like that.
Educational thing.
No, that'd be cool. Okay. They should do that. But it was just, I just felt like I was going back in time. It was really strange. And it has a window that looks out over the dam drop off.
Is it sit down toilet height window or is it stand up?
You got to see it. To stand up, you'd see it. To sit down, it'd be above your head. But
no, that's no good.
But I peed, so I didn't have to sit. But the thing was, it was like a, it was such a drop off. I was completely like kind of. I don't like heights. We've talked about this. I don't like heights. And boy, howdy, did that give me the willies. I'm like, I am 1 inch away from just right off the side.
What about confined spaces and heights? You need to go to the arch.
Yeah.
The Gateway Arch. Yeah.
Oh, I've never been up there.
How are the bathrooms, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever you go.
Yeah. Like you're in a teeny tiny elevator to get up there, first of all. And it's still like a little enclosed area once you're up there. Yeah. I think I was 8 or 9, the only time I've ever been there. But
would be the only size that anyone should be right in those stupid little carts. They're just too small.
Yeah. I want to go there one day. I've never been up there. I didn't know you could actually go up inside that thing. I thought it was just a structure outside.
Little windows up at the top.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. All right. Well, hey, St. Louis, how you doing? Let's move on to now kicking Brian out of here. A reminder that later this afternoon at 3:30 Mountain Time, we'll be doing a Play Retro episode. Which we're very excited about. We're going to talk about Cool Spot.
It's going to be very cool.
Yeah. Do you guys remember Cool Spot, the stupid 7-Up mascot that they turned into a side-scrolling video game and was actually good? Well, that's kind of our topic. We're going to talk about that game in particular, but kind of all the other stuff around that sort of thing, like the stupid Pepsi Man game and maybe those Sneaky King games that came out of Burger King and like these weird
advert games. Yeah. It's going to be a blast. I've had a good time this past week.
Was there Annoyed? I think there was Annoyed game for Domino's.
There were several.
Hell yeah.
Were there? Yo-Noid being the most popular.
And probably the best of the bunch. They're all kind of bad, though. Most of them, it's a hallmark of being pretty bad usually. But once in a while, like this Cool Spot game, it's a pretty good game. Like it actually is a decent platformer. Whereas sometimes this stuff's garbage. And it used to be true of like movie crossovers, TV. We've gotten way better in the modern era than we used to, but it'll be a fun topic. We're going to dive in hard. So check us out, 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv if you want to watch it live. We do a lot of video stuff as well, so you'll be able to catch all of that fun stuff if you catch it live or the podcast after, wherever you get your podcast. And big thanks to Pocket Cast for featuring us this week. That was really nice.
Yes.
Very exciting. So cool.
Yeah. Came out of nowhere. Didn't know they were going to do that. Anyway, go check that out. Brian, anything else you would like to say before we let you go?
Absolutely. If you'd like to see me suck and play hard at all on twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway, I play the games we play on Play Retro. Well, that's a lot of plays.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's where if anyone wanted to watch Brian suck, that's the place to go to watch it.
I realized when I started saying it was like,
sounds
it's too
all
late.
Porny.
It's too late.
Sounds porny.
Yeah, it sounds against Twitch's rules of service or whatever. So
brain deterioration at 30, you say.
Yeah. You're well past it. So enjoy your declining years. Bye now. All right. There goes Brian into the etherverse.
Yeah.
Hey, I know what I want to do. I'm going to do some quick news here brought to you by
Jack Shelton's wife, Maria, is kidnapped while at a fundraising benefit in Florida. Upon receiving the demands, Jack leaves his comfortable life in Green Bay to handle the situation on his own terms. Shaking off the rest of retirement seems difficult as Jack maneuvers his way through the trials of finding his wife in the unfamiliar Florida towns of Port Charlotte and El Jobin. A story of vengeance and mystery with a twist. Go to bit.ly/Night Tracer for more details and to get your copy today. That's bit.ly/Night Tracer.
I just like hearing you say El Jobin.
El Jobin. I don't even know if that's how it's pronounced. Is it El Jobin or is it Jobian? Or
I'm not sure.
El Jobin? I don't know.
I have to ask these brilliant people over there making this.
In Florida.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, the most popular hot sauce in every state. We're going to talk about it.
All right. Yeah. I love these maps.
Yeah, these are fun. Apparently, Sriracha is ruling the world right now because a huge portion of the United States, I'll put this up so the chat can see it. Here we go. So you guys see it on screen. That green there is, those are all Sriracha states.
It's a lot of sriracha.
Sriracha. It's funny that the hardest one to pronounce is the leader. Pretty hilarious. Yeah. But anyway, all of these are Hoi Fung Sriracha is the brand. We all know the one, you know, the red bottle with the turkey, the rooster on it.
Yeah.
We used to, when I was younger, I didn't know what it was called, so I just said they have the rooster sauce, and then I would see one and not really pay attention to what it said, but yeah. There's something in, let's see, is it New Mexico? No. Who's just below you? Yeah, New Mexico, right?
Yeah, it's New Mexico. Yep.
They have, what's
Bueno.
Bueno. I've never heard of that.
Bueno.
Is it good?
What amazes me is that Louisiana doesn't, like Louisiana you think would be, Tabasco all the time, because McElhenney is based in Louisiana.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, that's weird. It's called Original Louisiana, which I'm not familiar with. I've spent time there.
Mississippi there.
You're right. Pointing to Mississippi. It's still Sriracha. You're right.
Louisiana has Sriracha, but Mississippi has Original Louisiana hot sauce.
Hey, I don't want to freak you out, but way on the other side of the country, Texas Pete is happening, but Sriracha is happening in Texas.
Oh, yeah. That's in Brian Dunaway's part of town.
Yeah.
So both Carolinas like the Texas Pete.
They both like Texas Pete. Even though I don't think they like Texas. Frank's Red Hot doing real well in the upper eastern part of the country, although still kind of surrounded by Sriracha. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised by this. I thought it would be, I don't know.
A little bit more varied across the country.
Yeah, I do like Sriracha a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I like it.
Oh, yeah, it does make sense. Buffalo, New York has the Frank's Red Hot. That makes sense. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. There's another map answer. So I'm looking at which states are ordering the most hot sauce in terms of ounces customer via Instacart.
Oh, yeah. I'd be curious about that.
Let's see. The most is
North
Dakota with 5.4 ounces.
North freaking Dakota.
They're cold, man. They got to heat up.
I guess.
Colorado at 4.0. New Mexico at 4.4. Well, Utah's a lightweight, 1.6, you bunch of weenies.
Apparently, if you're looking for hot sauce, you don't have far go.
Ah, I absolutely saw what you did there, for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty damn obvious.
It was good, though. I enjoyed it. Texas only 2.3. That surprises me. Louisiana and Mississippi tied at 1.9, which is also their position in education in the country. Just kidding. That's terrible to say. Sorry, everybody down there. You guys are great. Nevada 2.4. I thought there'd be a little more hot sauce in Nevada. I don't know. You know, you get your hookers and your whatnot.
You think it's because Sriracha has, you get such a big bottle of it, whereas these other ones come in small bottles, so you just get more bang for your buck with Sriracha.
Maybe that's how they got in, and then now it's just like standard. It's like ketchup or something. You're just like, oh, there it is. I know that. I'll eat that. But
maybe.
Yeah. I like all kinds of hot sauces, but I do think Sriracha might be my go-to if I'm in the mood.
How much of the Alice Cooper hot sauces do you have left? Like, have you finished any of the three bottles?
So the one that's supposedly mild, I've eaten all of.
That is the best of the three. Like the smoky chipotle flavor with, throw that on eggs.
Yeah. And it's still pretty hot. Like the joke there is that his mild is still really hot and Diablo-y hot.
The mild is hotter than the medium, in my opinion.
Yeah. The medium's okay. The other two are fine. I just really like that mild flavor. Yeah. I could do that right now. In fact, it sounds real good.
I could too. Every time we talk about food, it makes me hungry on this show.
I know. Why do we do that? All right. Check this out. The monkey gangs are on the loose. Oh, shit.
Didn't we talk about the monkey gangs? Didn't we throwing dogs off of... dogs off of buildings
they
and
were
stuff,
throwing,
or is this a different monkey gang?
It's a different monkey gang, but you're not wrong to think that we've had multiple stories. This maybe is a sign that the monkeys are, you know, rising up. Something's going on. Planet of the Apes
Watch out,
happening.
Caesar.
Yeah. Hail Caesar. Monkey gangs hooked on sugary drinks rampage through town, mugging tourists for food and belongings in a reign of terror, says this article on thesun.com. Oh, scary. The town located some 90 miles north of the capital, Bangkok, is known for its massive monkey population. Massive monkey.
Massive monkeys.
That's fun to say.
It's not a lot, but boy, they're big.
Yeah, they're big monkeys. And since Thailand threw open its doors again to holidaymakers, that's fun, interesting. We'd call that vacationers, wouldn't we?
Holidaymakers.
Holidaymakers.
Well, you're making holiday.
Yeah. Anyway, these lawless monkeys have flooded the town streets. The primates have been wreaking havoc by climbing on people, stealing glasses from tourists, and running across cars.
Courtesy of the monkey blinders.
Don't forget what you saw here today.
To make monkey matters worse, the gangs are feasting on sugary treats from the locals as they believe the animals bring good luck to the area. Monkeys have been missing out on snacks from visitors. But the fiends are now gorging on hundreds of bananas and syrupy drinks every day. Probably that means they're pooping everywhere, dude. There's some footage of this.
Really?
Yeah. Right. We got to see what we can see here.
Let's take a look.
Okay. I love. Look at these guys. They're like vermin. They're just everywhere.
Oh, my God. They are.
And look, this guy's just handing it out. Like, what is he giving them? Like, they look like Otter Pops or something. Maybe they are.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I don't think this is good for disease. Too many monkeys in one concentrated place is probably going to mean a bunch of weird diseases and new forms of, like, well, we don't need more excuses for animal diseases to jump to humans, but there's something I like about a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah, that's exactly. They're drinking unfrozen Otter Pops.
Oh, that is what that is.
Look at that. Boy, I'm just watching that one, like, sucking down and in, like, a whole tube of unfrozen Otter Pops.
Yeah. I like a lot. Yeah.
Can
like
we just,
bunch.
Like, I don't know, take a head of lettuce down there and give out the leaves? Oh, at least here, they're giving out bananas now. That's good.
Yeah, that'll help them with the diarrhea. Carter says that Carter was in Japan, and I guess Monkey Island is a thing there. And she.
Oh, yeah. She went up to Monkey Island?
Yeah, but I don't think they were as rude to her. Like, they were nice and... I don't know. Maybe they're nicer there. I don't know what the deal is. They always seem a little pissed, these monkeys.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of monkey they are.
Is there Colobus? No, what are these?
Dick monkeys.
Dick monkeys, sure.
Yeah.
And already she's getting mobbed on the head for not handing out enough bananas.
Yeah. So I think there's a problem with what's the word? Moderation. The monkeys don't know how to moderate.
Sure.
So we're not helping anybody giving them Otter Pops all day. But I do like a good monkey.
Yeah. This one's trying to eat his way into the car.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Trying to bite his way through the window.
How many people do you think how many people down there do you think have found, like, one day they start their car and then find out they killed a monkey who fell asleep on the engine overnight or something like that?
Yeah, crawled in to warm up the engine block.
Because cats do that.
Yeah.
We had a neighbor kill a cat.
I don't know how cold it
way.
Gets in. He's just putting his anus right on the bar of that window of the truck.
That's what you want.
Have you gotten to that shot yet with his tail hanging over one side, his legs on the other? And
That's a great way to get a sample. Whatever you need. Those monkeys are there to give it to you.
That's why I don't touch the bars when I'm traveling in the back of a open truck in Thailand.
I like this very sensible advice from Miravina in our chat. They are cute little monkeys, but don't feed them junk.
Yeah, exactly.
Miravina, I'm with you. That's it for today's news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be here to join us for Major Spoilers. We got stuff to talk about there, so stick around. In the meantime, hey, Brian, I'd love to hear a song.
Would you? Would you now? Maybe this one goes out to Bronco, who instead of carrying a baseball bat, should carry a basement revolver, because that's the name of the band, Basement Revolver. Big thanks to Auteur Research Records for this one. This is the fourth single to be shared off of their forthcoming LP, which is called Embody. They are Hamilton, Ontario, so again up in Canada, a shoegaze group, indie shoegaze group called Basement Revolver. This is coming out February 18th via Sonic Union Records. This is great. There's a little bit of an NSFW word in here at some point, but I think you guys can all get through it. We're all adults here. Here's Basement Revolver and the song Circles.
Forgot to take my meds again, even though it never happens. Worried sick, I'll meet my end. Try to take each day that comes, one step at a time.
Getting a little bit older every day. Drab, dull, saggy.
I know what you're thinking. When you present yourself to the world, you project who you are. Never use soap.
I want to talk to Sylvia about her posture.
Powdered donuts, my favorite.
The Morning Stream, Excelsior!
All right, we're back. That song once again.
Sure. The song is called Circles. It's by the band Basement Revolver.
Nice. Nice. I'm sure it was good. I'll listen to it in post.
It was good. It was good.
I'm sure it was. All right, we're going to get a major spoilers dose in today. Right, straighten your butt, everybody.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, I got that low T. Well, we also have low M. It's a lot of time for some major spoilers.
Stephen Schleicher. Stephen Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's a tenured professor, Stephen Schleicher. Actually, do they do that where you're teaching or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I've been tenured at this university since 2005. Let's
say
five.
Tell me, what does that afford you? What kind of benefit? Nothing?
Parking space? Do you have a parking space with your name on it?
No.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
No, tenure. I think people really think that once you get tenure, it means that you can't be fired. Yeah. And that's not true, because you can be fired for cause. You can be fired for low performance ratings, sexual harassment, all sorts of things that you can be fired for.
Okay.
What tenure does for the most part is it gives you the freedom to go out and do research without some overseer saying, no, you can't do that.
Oh, so it's like
that's
an extra
kind of what it.
Like an extra layer of trust or something, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yes, somebody said you get a little bit more money. You don't get that much more money.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if somebody thinks being tenured means you'll never get fired, and then they show up to class one day and just flop their junk on the podium, they're going to get fired.
Oh, so that, yes, yeah. You would get fired for that.
Okay. So they can't just go.
In fact, we had a few years ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can go and find it on the web. We had a debate coach who I believe he was tenured. Mm. He went and he got in an argument at a debate event with another coach and mooned the coach in front of a bunch of people. And it wasn't like you could see his bare butt or anything. It was his underwear.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was let go the very next day.
Oh, wow. Here it is. Kansas University fires debate coach who mooned rival is the headline. Yeah. That's awesome. This was back in, when was this?
Wow.
26, 27, somewhere around there.
Yeah, something like that. August of that year. Here's what he said. Obviously, it got out of control, but to be honest, I thought I was in a safe house. I thought I was part of a community that handled its problems internally and that recognized the dangers of exposing themselves, no pun intended, to the rest of the country. Oh, no, that's the other person, not him. He's just like, whatever, I'm pissed. I'm going to moon you.
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty cool guy, but he's pretty radical.
Yeah. He says everyone has the right. The school says everyone has the right to freedom of speech, but these actions are not acceptable for someone who's representing our university, said Hammond, whoever that is.
He was the president at the time.
Ah, gotcha. All right. So Stephen, don't be mooning anybody.
I don't do that.
Okay. All right. That's good. Now, I'm really happy to hear that. Yeah. I'm also happy to hear that you're here, because we always get to talk about cool stuff in the comics world. Majorspoilers.com, the great resource. Go-to for many of us who love comics and comic culture, pop culture, that sort of stuff. For example, Black Christiantan. Sorry, I don't know how to say it right. How do you spell that last name?
I don't know how you say it either. I always just call him Krakistan.
Well, it's Krakistan.
It's K-R-R-S-A-N-T-A-N. He's the Wookiee on Boba Fett. Have you been watching Boba Fett, Scott?
No, I've not been watching Boba Fett.
Oh, you know what? There was some, before we got into this, I forgot. I had a thing on my calendar on Saturday that said, and this was something we made like months ago, that I said that on this date, on the 22nd, Scott will not have watched Loki yet.
Yeah, it's you. Yeah. Oh, I still haven't. So if you win.
Yeah, you win.
You win whatever bet you made. I'm feeling closer than ever, though. I feel closer to watching it than I've ever felt before.
Double or nothing for April 14th
of 2023?
Yeah, a year and a month from now.
I'll take that bet. Yeah.
Who knows? But so the first appearance of this character, in a Star Wars comic, which was a Marvel thing back in the day, sold for $225. It's not bad.
Wow.
Yeah, and that happens a lot, especially when characters who haven't been present in other media but have been in comics, and the first time that they show up in a show, usually we see the rise of that comic book just skyrocket through the roof. In this case, Darth Vader number one from 2015 got $225. Though if you go for a 9.8 slabbed copy, it's $350.
Oh, wow. It'd be even better. So this is an unslabbed price.
Slabbed.
I love that word. So this character is a Wookiee, right? That's the deal?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I keep hearing he's the coolest thing in the thing. Like, he might be the best.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, right? Because if that's the best thing in your Boba Fett show. Here, let me just say this.
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez, back in the day, everybody was like, oh man, Rodriguez, you know, El Mariachi and From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah,
Desperado. And then this is my biggest complaint about Boba Fett is it needs to be less Spy Kids and more Star Wars.
Yeah. That's what I have heard a very similar take. I've not seen it, obviously, but I've heard somebody say something very similar to that. I don't know. Like everyone I've talked to, people I trust are usually either just kind of, oh, yeah, it's good, like Brian just did, or they're like, eh, I don't know, it's not really great. Maybe wait for it and binge it or nah, like that.
Yeah, wait for it and binge it. I'm not going to put you to any kind of deadline on this.
It's just not
as
tight.
Is it as good as The Mandalorian? No.
No,
better than the Star Wars Christmas special? Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's quite the range you got there.
Well, I'm trying to think of other Star Wars TV things. That Ewok, it's better than
that Ewok adventure. Yes.
Okay, is it better than the prequels?
No.
I don't think so.
Jeez. Parts of it are better than parts of the prequels, but that's a tough thing.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. That's a tough thing. Okay. I like the Tashi Station bits.
The water stuff. I don't like the Spy Kids stuff. I don't like the modded Vespa riders.
Yeah.
The
Tusken Raiders stuff was so good. Those
that was good
episodes.
Yeah,
that was interesting. But anything that was set the chase scenes in at least the first three episodes are the weakest.
A low speed chase, you mean?
Yeah.
Nobody's really into that. Does the Wookiee have a big scar on his head in the show?
That's pretty
cool. Mm-hmm. Does he have braids like that? That's badass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Oh no, he's pretty bad. I mean, he's badass. He's
badass.
Yeah. When he first appears, he kicks the crap out of a lot of people, and it's very, very cool. And then, a spoiler alert, at least up to the episodes that have been released, it's kind of just like, all right, be on your way.
Yeah. Is it out? So it's not done yet. They've got a few more to go, or two more to go.
Oh yeah, I think they've got like three or four more episodes.
Oh okay. Well, maybe they'll Desperado this business and make it amazing. Who knows? You don't know.
You know what they should have done? And what initially when this first started out, I really thought that they were going to do A Fistful of Dollars with Boba Fett.
Mm. Yeah, right. Mm. Which would have been great. Yeah. The bounty hunter with no name.
Uh-huh. And he's pitting all the other crime lords against each other. That would have been fantastic.
That would have been that would have been the great direction. But that's kind of Mando a little bit. Like Mando's kind of man with no name a little bit. I mean, he has a name.
No, it's more Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but that spaghetti western, they really leaned into it. And this one doesn't so much.
Yes.
It's more, well, from what I've heard, again, I don't want to judge it until I see it. But
yeah, you should watch it. And I know that there's a lot of people that are just like, oh, man, I love this Boba Fett stuff. That's great. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to agree with you. And that's fine, too.
Yeah. Welcome to Star Wars. Modern Star Wars means you're not going to agree. That's how it works.
Yeah.
I really like, I'd probably end up seeing first is Peacemaker. I keep hearing I need to be watching Peacemaker.
That is an interesting show, right? I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance, probably not is my guess, to watch the Harley Quinn animated series on HBO Max.
Not yet, although it's in my queue forever, but no, I have not.
Okay, so if you like, for those people who are listening and have actually watched the Harley Quinn animated series, if you like that, Peacemaker is in that same vein, but live action.
Oh, interesting.
It's very interesting and it's very good, although Judo Master kind of creeps me out.
Oh, well.
Really? Okay, interesting. I watch this.
As it should be. By the way, someone in the chat found a picture of your old debate coach there at the school, Moon and the People.
It's you can find the YouTube video. You can go search on it.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is this just a proud moment for you in the school?
Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he and I were working on a project at the time, and then it was just like, what happened to Bill? And he's gone. And it's just like, oh, okay, well, that's it.
That's the end of Bill.
And he was, I mean, he is, I don't know what he's doing now, but at the time, he was one of the top debate coaches in the country.
Really?
Think it if got not to his the head? Top debate coach in the country.
Do you think Big Debate got to him and made him do something dumb?
Yes, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah, Big Debate, whoever they are. I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
All right, here's some, I think, some relatively earth-shattering news. I was just talking to Chris Metzen about this. Transformers and G.I. Joe, but Transformers is the bigger one, I think, anyway. It has a bigger following here, is leaving IDW Publishing. Why? What happened?
Well, so there's a couple of things. A few years ago, now I'm sure this is the conspiracy side, so everybody put on your tinfoil hats. A few years ago, one of the writers on G.I. Joe introduced, I believe it was a trans character.
Yeah.
And the fandom just went ballistic and said, oh, and called up Hasbro Direct instead of dealing with IDW Publishing. And the and so some people will say, well, this is because of that thing that happened like 10 years ago. Yeah. And this is why Hasbro's pulling the license. No, that's probably not it.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, IDW has actually let a lot of their licenses end. You know, they lost Star Wars not too long ago, and now Marvel Comics has picked up the Star Wars line, the Hype Republic stuff. And I think that's what's happened here is IDW has really, if you follow what they've been doing as they've been trying to go public and as they're part of a much larger, what's that gaming company, that conglomerate that bought up a bunch of
Tencent. Is it Tencent?
Maybe that's it. I don't remember. It's a Scandinavian company that bought up a lot of other game publishers.
Oh, I don't know. I can't think
of the also name. I believe they also own IDW Publishing. So they've had a lot of difficulties financially over the last couple of years. I think IDW Games is a big part of that. Yeah. And so I honestly think that they can't afford to keep the G.I. Joe and the Transformers license. And so they are ending that portion of their agreement with Hasbro. Now, on the plus side, you know, if Hasbro wanted to pull out completely, they would have also taken Dungeons and Dragons and My Little Pony. Dungeons and Dragons is a huge seller for IDW right now.
Oh, I didn't realize that was doing well. That's cool.
Yeah. Jim Zub is fantastic.
Oh, on the we Dungeons love that and guy. Dragons series. He's awesome. Yeah. We tagged him on Comic Dorks years ago. He's great.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask
you this. Yeah. My guess, yes. I predict before the end of the year, Marvel will announce that they are bringing G.I. Joe and probably Transformers back to Marvel because they still do a lot of work. Marvel still does a lot of work with Larry Hama. Mm-hmm. And so I have a feeling that G.I. Joe will find a home at Marvel Comics before the end of the year.
And I don't want to I want people not to discount this idea of thinking, what toys that are now comics, how lame. I'm telling you, those I don't read G.I. Joe, but those Transformer comics, freaking awesome. There's some really good really stuff good. In there. Really? Yeah. And by the way, the trans character that we talked about from 10 years ago, that was in G.I. Joe, not Transformers.
That was in G.I. Joe.
Okay. Because there's no trans character in Transformers. They would just ask for the most horrible people on the internet to make the worst jokes. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It would just what a nightmare. But anyway, okay. That's all cleared up. All right. Well, we'll see what they do. I'm fine wherever they go as long as they have good talent. But I worry about IDW. Yeah, what are they going to do now?
Well, yeah. So here's the oddest part of this. And so maybe the My Little Pony and Dungeons and Dragons line may leave IDW eventually, although I'd be surprised if Dungeons and Dragons did, because it's not part of the greater, what are they calling it, the Transformers universe. Because right now, in continuity, both in the movies and in the comic books, all of these toy properties are interconnected.
Mm.
So My Little Pony, Transformers, G.I. Joe, I forget what their other one is. They all share a shared universe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is a big thing that they announced again, like 10 years ago. And ever since then, they've been doing plenty of crossovers with all of these properties.
So at some point, does that mean there's a potential movie that is Transformers and G.I. Joe working together alongside each other to take down Cobra or some crap like that?
Wasn't that in the wasn't there already a movie like that?
Was there? I don't know if the Transformers are involved.
I thought one of the G.I. Joe or Transformers movies was that.
But I know they I didn't see it, but I guess that thing that came out last year, who's the cool ninja guy? Snake Eyes.
Oh, Snake Eyes. Oh,
I guess that was passable. It was all right from what I heard.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know if there was any kind of teasery stuff like, oh, Snake Eyes bought a new Camaro and it turns out Bumblebee's and I don't know how that went, but anyway,
sure. Somebody in the chat created a title that said My Little Transformers Pony. There actually is a Transformers My Little Pony crossover comic.
Oh, my goodness.
That is actually really good.
Yeah.
Really? Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Good, you say? Like, what? By what definition?
Like, it doesn't suck. Like, you would think that, oh, my God, this is going to be the worst thing in the world. And no, it's good.
Okay.
It's solid.
All right.
It's a solid story. It's a solid crossover. Transformers has crossed over with G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, My Little Pony. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. Mm. So, yeah, there's all sorts of those comics that you can go grab.
Well, my favorite Transformer of all time is now in our Discord. So enjoy that. All right. Well done. This is great to hear all these things, because where else are we going to find out? That's right. Majorspoilers.com has got you covered, everybody. I know you got a whole slew of stuff going on this week. What do you want to mention before you go?
I think people should stay hydrated.
Oh, I do too. You know, like if you're going to drink.
Great advice right there.
Yeah, stay hydrated. Why not? Steven, have a good one. We'll see you next time. I really thought he would promote one of his shows or something, but
I thought so too. Yeah. Just went right to his closing. He was ready. He was ready to go.
It's totally fine. All right. We're going to end things this week with a couple of things. An email, first of all, emails that come to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. This one is from Milliamp, who's usually in the chat when they're there. Anyway,
no, never in the chat room, but they would be Milliamp.
Oh, they'd be Milliamp if they were in the chat room. There you go.
If they ever went to the chat room, which they never do.
So our chat room would be 1 milliamp. That's how much power it would generate.
Sure.
Get it?
Exactly.
He says, Scott, I know you don't lack for drawing ideas or requests, but this thought popped in my head when the chat room asked for a pick of the alternative urination device. Number one, I don't remember when this was, when we talked about alternate urination devices, but anyway. One, keeping that thing around sounds gross, and two, even a pic of the decommissioned unit sounds gross, but a cartoon of the unit sounds funny. Instead of a man wiener, you could draw it installed on Jeff Bezos's wiener rocket. That's it. That's the email. I'm never in the chat room, but if I do, I'm Milliamp if I were.
I like that a lot, actually. Like a drawing of your back-hurting urination device.
Yeah, yeah. And then... But his point is probably well made, which is it's gross either way. Like
if you make one that's got like, you know, a Starburst wrapper and a parquet margarine tub and like, you know,
yeah,
like a Rube Goldberg device. I don't know. I think that could be kind of funny.
That'd be all right. We could probably use that. I did a drawing. Have you seen this lizard floating around, this picture of a big, weird, hunky lizard with a smaller lizard on its back smiling?
No. No.
It's been all over my feed. In fact, Ashley Robinson sent me or put one up, and she was the thing that broke the camel's back. That thing got me so inspired last night that I stayed up late. That's why I'm so tired today. Stayed up late drawing this lizard thing. I can't wait to show everybody. It's going to be great.
Really? Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I loved your Seinfeld room. Holy cow, that thing looks great.
Oh, I had a wild hair up my butt that day.
Apparently so.
I was like, I've got to make apocalyptic Jerry's apartment, and I don't even know why. I got no reason to do this. I'm just going to do it, and it took forever, but I did it. Sometimes, listen, in this NFT nightmare world we live in, sometimes you got to draw just because you want to, not because somebody needs to improve their crypto portfolio, okay? Sometimes you just need to draw shit, and that's what I did then. I did it last night.
Way, Scott, little tip to lower your blood pressure. You can go into Twitter settings, go into privacy, and have it automatically filter out any tweets that contain NFT.
I wish that was where I saw it. I get most of it in like emails and stuff.
Oh, really?
I get targeted all the time. I told you about the guys.
I can only help you so much.
I told you about those guys that tried to sell me my own art. Took my stuff, went and minted it, and then came back with it and said, you should buy these. And if you don't want, if you own these.
Fine! What are you talking about?
Freaking F off. But yeah, the Seinfeld in Detroit wasn't the idea. So we apologize for that statement. Anyway, I'll get on that. Hey.
You need to do Central Perk next.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad. I'm just trying to think of other, like their apartment's pretty good in Friends. Iconic. Central Perk is good.
Yeah, apartment Friends. Maybe the Ricardo's house in I Love Lucy.
Like that's not bad. Yeah.
Interior.
I could have the corpse of Fred Mertz on the floor. That'd be cool.
As much as we don't really care for Big Bang Theory, that set is instantly recognizable.
Yeah, that one's not bad. Leonard Cheers Bar is good. Apartment. Yeah. Wouldn't mind.
Oh, Cheers Bar is a great one. Yeah.
Real question is, should I? Because it's a lot of when I got done with that, I was like, ugh.
The Brady Bunch staircase is a good one. Yeah.
I needed a nap after I was done.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't even imagine.
It was a beast. All right. Here's a mashup from Jamie. This is a throwback mashup, and it's one of these Patreon only people deals that he does, but he decided to just put this one out for everybody. Okay. So if you want to hear this, good news. You're here to hear it. Let's play it. It's called Throwback Mashup. That's it. Oh, okay. Zerpy. Whatever that is. We'll find out.
What that means.
Enjoy, everyone.
From a chandelier.
Who does that?
See ya.
Chandelier.
Who
does that?
See ya.
Why am I hearing? Oh, because your Twitch window is open. Why am I hearing? Oh, because your Twitch window is open.
It's the worst nightmare ever.
It really is.
Right. Ryan Gosling once had the weirdest Turkish massage ever.
Mm,
he ended up a little tense after a mouthful of hairy belly. What's that?
No, that's how, that's what happened in his massage. He got a mouthful of hairy belly.
Oh, gross. This is gone.
I loved her in Swordfish, by the way. Hairy belly.
Dr. Marion V. Suskind. Myron V. Suskind detailed his experience treating a ZERP. A ZERPy?
I don't know why that says a ZERPy. Oh, it's a zipper-related penile injury.
A ZERPy. Toilet terror as python bites man's penis while he sits on the loo. Another one about a dude's unit.
I now know what word you have in your Google alert.
Barney, hold on. I'll be right with you. We can go to the Elks Lodge as soon as I put on my onesie.
Hey, Fred, it's a little
notice
tighter.
Notice how it cups my unit.
Athaporn Boon Makachucha. Wow, this is. I sound like I'm trying to read a simple name as you.
Yeah, way to go. It's really
good. Athaporn Boon Makchue.
The catheter was placed in the penis, and the triangular wedge was cut out of the glands in order to loosen it. Oh my gosh, I am in pain right now.
Yeah.
Why am I reading this? The urethra was not injured. The prepuss was freed. What is the prepuss?
I don't know.
The prepuss? The prepussy?
It's what comes before the puss.
Weird.
I do want to see the mascot for ZERPy, though.
Oh, ZERP. He'd be called ZERPy.
Little ZERPy.
What was the pizza guy called back in the day? The Noid?
Yeah, right. He'd look like the Noid?
Yeah, I'm saying he'd be a little claymated guy. He'd be like a little claymation wiener with like a zipper caught in his face.
That I like. I like that a lot.
I'm ZERPy. Be careful out there and don't zip up your pants and snag your face like I did. I'm ZERPy.
That's old stuff. I don't remember any of it.
Either. But look at that. Two Noid references today, and one of them completely unplanned.
No, and an entire Play Retro coming up about that kind of thing, and we couldn't have planned it better. Well done, Jamie. Thank you for that. He gives this to his personal patrons all the time, so if you want to get a snag on these throwbacks, you can do that. Just follow him on Twitter, at TMS Mashups. That's going to do it for the show. Big thanks goes out to, before we go, or before we do this, we should probably promote these shows. I mentioned Play Retro. That's tonight, 3:30 Mountain Time. Check it out. But what if I really wanted some music in my head? What should I listen to then?
If you want some music in your head, here's what you should do. Go to soundography.com and listen to the episode we just posted this morning all about Alice and the Chains. I love Alice's music, and when she's backed by the Chains, I really like the combination of those. So get the man out of the box and listen to the newest episode of Soundography, Alice and Chains.
Well, there you have it. I love Alice and Chains. Huge fan.
I thought I was a big fan, too, until I listened to their entire library. Everything, like the Layne Staley stuff, fantastic. But, boy, later stuff, newer stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It's not great.
Harder time with it.
But I could listen to Dirt right now.
That album, right. And, that is the highlight for me, too.
So this is the problem. You can't have your lead singer committing suicide and stuff, you know?
You can't. No, keep them protected.
Keep an eye on your Layne Staleys, okay? All right, let's get out of here. Reminder that patreon.com/TMS is there for all of you to go spend very little money on supporting your favorite morning show. People like Chip, Callum, and Thomas Sorensen, all great patrons. You can be like them and sign up today, patreon.com/TMS. For everything else you're looking for, frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, let's get out of here with a song. What did you bring?
I know the listeners can't see that, but you shook your head no while you're saying for everything else you're looking for.
Yeah, why did I do that? What's this about?
I don't know. Is that demonstrating what you're people looking for other stuff?
Yeah,
and finding it on frogpants.com.
It's a secret little symbol of what I'm actually saying. Do the opposite.
Is this like a Carol Burnett tugging her ear? Yeah. A secret signal to somebody in the audience?
Yeah, I'm letting Tim Conway know it's time to come out and do Dorf or whatever. Exactly. All right.
Perfect. All right.
Music.
Hey, tomorrow's Terry Z's birthday. He's going to be 75 tomorrow. So happy 75th birthday Terry Z. I always forget that I know you've told us your age before, and I always forget that that you're one of our more senior listeners, and I love that. I love that we haven't pissed you off enough to make you leave and go somewhere else.
So. I think that's a sign that he is a really cool, well-rounded dude that doesn't fit the boomer mold, and I'm proud to know him.
Exactly. Yep. That's a really good way to put it. Yep. By the way, we have a prize we're going to be giving away from Terry this week. We'll do it with Feud this week. A foot pedal, USB foot pedal, so you can operate like games and stuff, or Discord, push to talk, or things like that. We have a giveaway this week of a foot pedal from him.
Very cool. I have one of those. Well, mine's on my desk, but it's meant to be for feet. It's awesome. I love it.
Your desk, but it's made for feet.
Yeah, I have one that's supposed to be on the floor. That's where most people use it. It doesn't really matter, but it's how I mute over here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it works.
So it must
great.
Not be a very big one.
No, it's small. But when I bought it, it was meant to be, I can't show because it'll pull too tight, but it basically it's meant to be like a little pad that you put your foot on.
Sure.
And I did that for a while, but I would miss sometimes and I'd be like, oh shit, where'd the thing go? And I was like, I'm going to cough anyway. So then I pulled it up here and now I can cough all day. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
All right. So here is Terry's message. I'm a child of the 60s, graduating high school in 1965 and college the year we were born in 1969.
Wow.
If you fail in your challenge, any interesting cover of a psychedelic rock song from that period would be appreciated. But the challenge is a cover of Grace Slick's White Rabbit or Somebody to Love. Besides early Jefferson Airplane, I was also a big fan of the Moody Blues and Elton John. Thanks in advance, Terry. Well, challenge accepted. That's an easy one because it seems like if you're going to cover Grace Slick and Jefferson Airplane, those are the two songs everybody wants to cover. And technically, they weren't originally Jefferson Airplane songs. They were Grace Slick and the Great Society songs. She brought those over with her when she left Great Society and joined Jefferson Airplane and all those other Jefferson and Airplane Starship and all those other bands that came out of that.
Sure.
This is, the movie Sucker Punch didn't really give us a lot of great stuff, but it did give us an excellent soundtrack, including this cover of White Rabbit by Emiliana Torini. Here is White Rabbit.
Yeah.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Everybody knows not to sit next to Dennis.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.